Now, unicorn number two. So when we were looking, I was like, okay, Alyssa, she had to record a crap ton of stuff. And by the way, she was planning to go, I think it was to Hawaii, right? So she was scurrying about, and I'm going to talk about somebody with systems. She was like, okay, how about this, that, and that? And I'm like, I don't know. Just do it. And she just, boom, ginned it out. She had a lot to do. Now, we also had to get somebody to come in and teach other parts of that because I couldn't put it all on Alyssa. So when we're looking for those four qualities, I came across this guy who I'm going to welcome to stage. How many of you here are in Premier Coaching? Have been to a Premier Coaching session? So Ben is my Goose. I'm Maverick? Okay, I like it, all right? I don't want you to die or something in a plane crash. So, all right, so Ben is instrumental. He is one of our most successful students. I'll let him tell his story, but he is an amazing success story, and you need to listen to him. Welcome to the stage, Ben Day.
This is an excellent song for me, by the way. This was a good choice. That was not my choice. That's fantastic. Okay, we got a little bit of housekeeping to do. First, there's a lot of people that aren't here today that would love to be here. The person that would love to be here more than anyone else is my mother. And so if someone would take a good picture of me, that would be swell. She'll love you forever. my name is Benjamin Day, and I'm here to talk about how to get everything you need from your clients every time. We're going to cover a lot of ground very quickly, which brings me to housekeeping point number two. I wrote this slide deck over the course of the last couple weeks, really, and I pitched this topic over a year ago when we were first going to do this. The issue I'm having right now is that every single other person that spoke today has every single one of my talking points, and so I just don't really know what's left, but I'm gonna do my best. So if you don't really know me, hi, my name is Ben Day. I own Mindshare Bookkeeping. I started Bookkeeper Launch in 2017. Before that, the closest thing I had to a real boy job was bartending. The closest thing I had to, like, employee benefits was a free meal at the end of my shift, but only if we got enough rewards card signups. And I just didn't know anything about anything, right? I have a music degree. I got an accounting degree that I didn't use before Bookkeeper Launch. In no way, shape, or form am I an extrovert. I like to bring the energy, but I'm going to curl up in a ball after this is over. So we just all need to know that about me. I'm also not a client whisperer, which means when we're looking at how to get everything you need from your clients every time, that is a ridiculous ask. And I am very excited to be here to kind of talk you through what that looks like. Because truthfully, right, like, we need everything. I tell clients when we get on a prospecting call, when they're brand new, they've never met me before, I'll tell them it's actually in my proposal. If I could get a tattoo on my forehead, it would be the words, "I like too much information." And I love that. It kills every time, except for in here, obviously. I love it every time. And then the next two or three times that I meet with a client and I'm just pestering them, I'm like, remember, face tattoo, and they get it and they give me everything, and it's great. But this is what we're trying to fulfill here today. So let's define the objective here. Right? How do you get everything you need every time? What do you need? You need receipts, you need bank statements, credit card statements. We deal with real estate, so there's a lot of like loan documents, there's a lot of purchase and sale agreements. There's a lot of paperwork and like hundreds of pages of paperwork. If you've ever bought a house, hundreds of pages of paperwork. I only work with real estate investors. I've never bought a house, not one time. We work with over 100 clients across the United States. So don't, if you're feeling weird about picking a niche or feeling the imposter syndrome, come at me right now, because I don't know what I'm doing. But you need stuff, right? I need so much, face tattoo, receipts, statements, and one of the biggest things that we need every time is for the client to talk to us, right? They're going to pay you thousands of dollars to clean up, thousands of dollars a month, if you know what you're doing, to keep the book solid, but then they won't pick up the phone and talk to you. You've got simple questions, and they just won't, right? We're missing that feedback. How do we get this? And sticking with this theme of, hey, we need to level up, right? We need to level up our business. What are the pieces that you need to implement in order to get everything that you need every time? And so for, you know, as long as it takes, I'm going to talk about this, and then if there's time left over, we'll do some Q&A, but I am very long-winded. I love to hear myself talk, so we'll see. The three levels to get everything you need as a bookkeeping professional is a shoebox, a checklist, and a phone call. That's it. We're done. Q&A starts right now. Right? That's hilarious. This is not the solution. This is the start of the problem. I would argue wholeheartedly that the real problem that we encounter as bookkeeping professionals is that even when we make it easy, they don't give us what we need. Right? There's a million. We saw it. There's so many apps and solutions to get the stuff that we need. And it's all awesome. I love technology. I'm 28. Like, I'm a super nerd. I'm a millennial. There's an app for everything, and I have them all. But even when you make it easy, you still don't get what you need, and then it's like pulling your hair out. We're bookkeepers. We don't feel good unless the job is done with, you know, with shoes on, right? Like, it's like, we gotta look good, and then we just like, yeah, I can't reconcile this account. It's been 6 months. Client won't talk to me. I don't know what's happening, right? Stressful. Stressful. Which is why, fundamentally, right after the face tattoo thing, we talk about this. Every time I get on a prospecting call, I tell them that I believe that if we're on the phone right now and you need a bookkeeper, you don't have a bookkeeping problem. You have a communication problem. We've got an issue with information. And here, and I will say this, and they will say it to me, and they've probably said it to you. We are just saying it a little bit differently, right? What we hear from prospects all the live long day is stuff like this. Man, we have our receipts. They're somewhere, but nothing's happening with them. Or, man, our bookkeeper is just like never talks to us, or when they do, it's like talking to a dictionary. I don't understand. They'd say, hey, everything was great. We had a great bookkeeper. Something happened. I can't tell you what happened, but now they're the worst, right? What is this? Just so we're clear, a bookkeeping problem is debits and credits. That's a bookkeeping problem. This is information and expectations. This is, where's the missing piece? There's nothing about the tax law. There's nothing about accounting in those issues. Absolutely, 100%, cannot change my mind. If you want to get everything, we have to solve this issue. There's no app for this, right? So this is not the super tactical, Ben Day is going to tell you all about the cool apps that you need to use. We can't start there. Because if you go drop an app on somebody, you're going to have the same issue we had 8 slides ago or whatever, where you're making it easy, but you're still not getting what you need. And so we have to do this work first. So the real levels to fixing this problem are in no particular order, by the way. 1, 2, 3 is just easy. I fundamentally believe when you're growing your business, everything grows at the same time. And you can grow too much in one direction. So we have to grow all of these all the time. This is not a newbies have one issue and experienced people have another issue. I would argue that experienced people have the newbie issues more than ever. And so there, we have to grow all of these. And really, the reason I have all of these is because I would guarantee that you don't have all of these problems, but you have at least one of them. And I want to help you with everything because I'm an overachiever, so we're going to do it all, right? The levels to getting everything, you have to be very real. You have to be a mind reader, and you have to be a communicator. If you want everything, you got to do these things. I'm being inflammatory on purpose with the mind reader thing. We'll get to that because that is not our job. You need to check yourself. First things first. If you're being a realist about your business, about what getting everything means, we got to be very aware of what it is that we're asking for. Are we setting the right expectations, right? Is this really an opportunity for us to shine and it just coming at you like a challenge? And are you putting undue stress on your relationships, right? There's so much that we can do in this space to solve a very particular kind of getting everything problem. And it's just, and this honestly is where most people fall apart. I fall apart in this space every day. If you've been around Bookkeeper Launch for long enough, what we know about people is that people like to feel important and they like to feel better about themselves. This is like the mantra. This is Ben Robinson's back tattoo. It's fantastic. I would argue that there's a third piece to this equation, that most people have bigger things to do than bookkeeping. Most people feel like there are other things that they should be doing than answering your email, right? And we need to embrace this. And you need to embrace it. You want to feel important. You want to feel better about yourself. You have better things to do than bookkeeping. And so we need to come in with very real expectations and a positive mindset on how this is working. Otherwise, you will drive yourself insane, right? The gentleman that was asking about what do you do when you get stuck in your process, keep going, man. Like, that is not a you problem. They're not talking to you. Now, we can engage that. We can try to solve that. But we've got to set the right expectations. The reality is that if you're going to live your life as a bookkeeping professional in a very real and authentic way, we've got to have good expectations internally and with our clients. We have to understand that stuff happens. In the last 6 months, I've had two clients add a family member. They're pregnant. They've had their babies now. It's awesome. I've had three clients get a divorce. Those two circles overlap as well, by the way. It is ridiculous. Those people do not want to give me receipts right now. That's not on their radar. They don't care about me. They know that I'm there. They know I've got their back. They've got bigger things to do. So busy season exists. Life gets real. You cannot let stuff like that pull you down. Where, again, bookkeepers, completionists, if the books aren't done, I haven't done my job, I'm a failure. Dude, stuff happens. It'll be there next month. Just keep following up. Keep up with the nudge, right? And at the same time, you also have to set an expectation with your client from day one. You have to be involved. How much you're involved is entirely up to you and how much information you give me up front. If you can give me all of the information, face tattoo, if you can give me all of the information, you can help us build all of these systems up front. I need 5 minutes a month from you. I just do not need that much of your time, but you're not getting out of this. I'll solve 99.99% of the problems, but dude, I need you to answer the phone. Day one, if they're not into it, it's not a good fit. Not a win-win situation. Once again, everybody stole my talking points. The other thing that you got to be aware of in this space, while we're being a realist, is that sometimes the challenges that you're encountering are an opportunity to shine. We work with real estate investors. We work with house flippers, HGTV wannabes, right? Some of our clients will go to Home Depot 87 times a day. And I need all of those receipts. And the truth is, they're fixing multiple houses at a time. So it's not just, oh, that's supplies. It's, what house is that for? I have said those words more than any other word. What house is that for? What house is that? Like, all the time. And so instead of expecting your client to show up and drop all of these receipts on you ever 87 times, so many contractors, right? They're not even making the trips themselves. It's their team. Where's the opportunity to shine here? Is the opportunity to shine figuring out how we can cut the middleman out? Can we go sign up with something like one of the apps we have with expense management? Or can we get directly connected to Home Depot and just get the information from Home Depot itself instead of asking the client to give it to us? Can we solve this communication problem by just cutting the client out of the problem, right? Like, come on. It's the same thing with polling statements. I would argue that 99% of banks and credit unions today have the ability for you to go and log in and pull what you need. And if they don't, then you had better try again, right? It's hard to automate some of these things, but if you don't try, if you don't call the bank, ask for their IT and admin department, ask them. Don't let your client do this. They don't know. They don't care. There's opportunities here for you to begin to really embrace that and live your life as a trusted advisor. That one Home Depot trick has saved me so much time and gets me so many house flipping clients. You just wouldn't believe, because we took the time to figure this out. The last thing that we have to be really crystal clear on is you problems. Your client is not going to make you happy. That is not their job. It is not their job to fulfill part of your life. That is what your business is here to do. Your business is to fulfill your life. So the number of times that I've walked into a client meeting on a bad day and hoped that the client would make it better, and then I was just sour by the end because it was just work, that's the wrong space to be in. That's the wrong mindset. You've got to really go in with service, understand your why, put yourself through those paces, make sure that you're approaching all of these problems with gratitude and opportunity. You run badass businesses that people need and are willing to pay a premium price for. We can figure this out. We've got nothing but gratitude and opportunity in this space. When you are feeling defeated because your client will not answer the phone, you got to remember that that is kind of a them problem, and it is your opportunity to figure out how to solve it, and it is just awesome when you do. Truly. And listen, like this, we could stop right here. I'm cruising right now. I'm peak energy. This is so important to me. I know we beat figuring out your why to death. It is so important, and you got to be thinking about it every day, especially as you grow. Do not sleep on this. Also, we kind of need to be mind readers. So let's talk about this. Whenever you're developing your levels. There's a level of understanding your why, of understanding your expectations. We've got to get that expectation piece set, the soul, the core of what you have going on. The next piece is kind of the more the logical side. We've got to use the brain in your business to figure out what it is that we're actually asking for and how we can eliminate the client from the process. All of these bleed together. So I like to be a mind reader, and I like to be a mind reader by asking really stupid questions. I love it. We've all heard it. There's no such thing as a stupid question. There's just stupid people that ask questions. I'll be stupid all day. I've got zero problem being stupid. However, if I'm gonna be stupid, I need to be smart first. What we want to do as bookkeeping professionals is deliver finished financial statements that are pretty, that we understand, that we could talk about for hours and hours and hours and provide the value. We want to be advisors. If we're going to get to that step, we got to have the information, right? Biggest frustration point, I can't deliver a mess. I'll look like a fool. I'll look like an idiot. I'll look like I don't know how to do my job if I send a client an empty profit and loss when I know that they were busy. But they didn't answer my question, so I couldn't do my job. I will look like a fool, so I better just not do anything at all. We hate that. How do we bridge the gap from no information to finished financial statements? For me, it starts with smart questions. Let me explain to you what I mean. Anytime you get any advice on, like, how to do networking, how to make a new best friend, right? It is, don't ask closed-ended questions. Don't ask yes-no questions. Ask them big questions. Learn how they tick. Learn how their brain works. I tell clients on our prospecting calls, we're going to be best friends by the time this is over. I'm going to know everything about you. This is critical to my process as a trusted advisor and as a bookkeeping professional. I want to know what they had for breakfast this morning and why. I want to know what their five-year plan is. I want to know why they enjoy going to art museums, right? I want to know everything about them because those are much better questions than, like, is your favorite color blue? It's just a better question. We begin to learn our clients. When we ask these big questions, when we ask them, hey, 12 months from now, you're looking back on our relationship, what would have to have happened in that 12-month period of time for this to be an absolute crushing win for you? When you ask questions like that and they tell you, everything about how you communicate with that client comes into focus. You know their vision, they're excited about you. You'll also begin to pick up on how they like to communicate, what words they use. Are they like very long-winded? Are they very tactical in how they approach things? And you can begin to mirror all of that, understand how that is, and plug that into the logical side of how you're communicating with folks. Once you have that information, I can ask stupid questions all day. I can say, what house is this, 87 times, because I know I've asked the smart question already. I know I've already asked, hey, when you go to Home Depot, is it one house at a time? Or are you working on multiple properties? What's your spending like? Are you using different credit cards for different things? Talk to me about how you flip your houses, right? Whatever, tell me the strategy of your business. The problem with this is that smart questions are hard. It is hard to ask a smart question, but you have to. And I would argue that you have to ask these as early as possible. Use the brain power. This is when you're building the relationship. I would ask these up front so that you can get that information. Once they give you the information, compile it down. One of my favorite systems and processes in the business is we do bio videos for all of our clients. Every single client has their own very special video that I've recorded just for them. They never see it. It's for my team. And I can get on a video and say, hey, we're working on Andrew's books. Andrew doesn't know how to read, but he flips 5 houses a month. And I am not kidding, right? So what should we not do to Andrew? Send him an email. Oh, my God, right? Like, please do not. That is a waste of his time. It just is. And so we've got to ask these smart questions, compile the information down, and then figure out what are these stupid questions we can ask these clients. What else is that for? What was that? You cut a check to this vendor, and in the past that vendor has been for plumbing. Is that still the case with this one, or did they suddenly start also lending you money and you owe them interest? Which happens, because clients are weird, right? This is how we begin to become a mind reader, because at one point you knew nothing about them, and now you know what their favorite birthday was. Not when their birthday was, but what their favorite birthday was, right? We know everything about them, so we can ask easy questions. Stupid questions are easy. It is much easier to say yes or no to something than it is for me to give you my life story. And we need to get to that level of simplicity so that they can plow through 100 questions in 5 minutes a month. Because if they're going to be out of pocket, we need to make it as easy as possible for them and for us to get them back and caught up again. So when we onboard clients, our onboarding process mirrors this exact thing. This is exactly what it looks like. Every client is a little bit different. It is a waste of my time to figure out all of the accounting pieces that need to go in here when what I really need to know is what their favorite color is and how they spend their money. So when we onboard a client, the first thing we do, they sign, they pay, I get on a call with them, and I ask the biggest, smartest questions I can. In that onboarding call, we make sure that their bank feeds are set up. We start asking them about bank account access. We make sure that they can log into Receipt Bank or Dext or whatever. And then I ask as many smart questions. A 15-minute call takes me an hour and a half because I want to know everything about them. We take all that information, we compile it down into a bio video with some other frequently asked questions, custom procedures, whatever we need for that very particular person. I hand them off to my cleanup crew, which for a long time was also me. I love you, Kurt. And my cleanup crew goes through and they clean up the books and they make a blend of smart questions and stupid questions. And then they get on a call and they ask the smart questions, they ask the stupid questions, we filter it down. And by the end of their onboarding process, I can look at their books. Any of the people on my team assigned to their file can look at their books and know with like 98% certainty what that thing is. We do not assume for a second what something is. We always ask, we always verify. We're not that kind of mind reader, but I want to get as close as I possibly can. Because once again, if you can get that close, you have an opportunity to shine. We've got an opportunity to take this from 98 to 100. We have an opportunity to automate that step, get the information ourselves so that we don't have to ask any question at all. And now suddenly feedback isn't an issue for us. We know that we can go and get the receipts if they give them to us. We know we can get the statements if they give them to us. We have the access. And if we don't get the feedback, I know that I can ask a couple of questions. Hey, what house were you rehabbing this month? And that answers 98% of my baggage, right? And then I need them for 5 minutes a month to tell me all the other weird stuff that they're doing because you know they'd be doing weird stuff. But this is information, right? I'm talking about in the beginning, communication problems. They don't have a bookkeeping problem. They've got a, dude, I just need you to like live in my brain and then you would know everything, right? How often do we hear that? If we can begin to both set the right expectations, we need them to be involved, I need to give you grace when you need grace, and we can begin to do this sort of mind reading, build systems and processes around this to make the actual coding and the questions and the Q&A process easier, we're on our way. We've got information and expectation down. Now we need to begin to make this as efficient as possible, right? And I mean ridiculously efficient. So now we become the communicator. We absolutely have to know how communication works, and we have to know our people. Has anybody ever been like in a communications class? Do we have like communications majors in the room? Anybody ever do that? I'm so sorry. I'm about to rain on your parade. It's going to I'm about to give your whole degree away in like 2 minutes. I kid. I'm pretty sure I got a C in this class. What we know about communication is that it's different for everybody, right? I was talking about Andrew before. He literally like taught himself to read over the last 4 years. He's come a long way. I'm super proud of that dude. But it's different for everybody. I cannot assume that an email to Andrew is going to be the same as an email to Calvin or anybody. That's not how this works. It has to be different for everybody, but it still needs to happen. The last thing that you want to do as a bookkeeping professional is get paid a fat check and never talk to your client. That is a great way to have nasty things said about you on the internet, right? We need to be talking to these people, and it needs to be consistent. If you ask a client a question one time, you let 6 months go by, and you've never asked that client a second time, what are you doing? Sure, they should be answering you. Absolutely. That's the professional thing to do. Unless their life is falling apart and they just forget, right? We have to be consistently communicating with people. It has to happen. It has to be consistent and it has to be effective. It has to be person-specific. I do not have nearly enough time to talk about all the different ways that we can measure people and how they work. I will tell you that a lot of folks are a big fan of the DISC profile. That is D-I-S-C. It's a big thing. I know it mostly from different like coaching programs. Super cool. The other thing that I'm an absolute nerd about right now for no reason in particular is the Enneagram. I'm a 3-wing 2, by the way. And then there's stuff like the Myers-Briggs. There's like BuzzFeed quizzes, like what flavor of apple pie are you? Apple pie. There's all these different ways that we can begin to understand people. You don't have time for that, right? I'm not here to give you homework. I'm here to give you a framework to begin to think about people. So the XY graph of how I like to profile people from the second they talk to me moving forward is this right here. It's their technology to small talk ratio. How comfortable are they with just shooting the bull with me? And how comfortable are they with using technology? And I guarantee, especially if you've lived in the Midwest or the South, you've encountered every single one of these people. If you've ever tried to leave, like gone and seen your Southern friends and like did the chicken fry and you got ice cream after and then you tried to leave, leaving took longer than the meal, right? You're standing there with your bag for 3 hours and now suddenly we got to know about what like uncle is, like what your uncles are doing. Like it's terrible. This is how people operate. Like this is how people are. And if we can meet people where they're at, then let's do that. If they want to small talk, you should probably bake that into your proposal. You should probably make sure that every time you get on the phone with them, you've got some cute little story. You ask them about their kids, whatever it is, because they're going to love that. And when they love you, they talk to you. And when they talk to you, you get what you need. Same thing with people that hate talking to people. There are people in the room that I admire who every time I talk to them, I'm like, are they mad at me? Because they like just did not, they did not use a lot of words. But and I need words of affirmation is like my number three. It's like I don't need them, but I need them, you know? That's just how it is. There are people that are terrible at technology. I can tell straight away when I get on a Zoom call with somebody and they not like can't figure out their camera, but they end up like having to email me like, hey, can I just call you instead? And then it's just like a Zoom call of my face and they're on the phone with me and like that's the call. I love that. I know exactly who that person is. I know exactly how to help them. I know exactly where to meet them in the technology process. Profile your clients, for the love of all things. Figure out where they land on this metric. Start thinking about how to figure out your people. Every person is different, and if you know in your heart that somebody is super tech savvy and loves the small talk, you can do pretty much whatever you want to get a hold of that client, and they'll get back to you, right? They're capable. That is a very small box. There's a lot of people that need bookkeeping help, need communication help, need information help, that really need somebody that can do it all, that can help them understand the technology, build the tech stack, do the bookkeeping, talk to them, make them feel good, be the trusted advisor. You can check all those boxes. It's just going to be really important for you to know how many of those boxes they need you to help them check, right? We've got to know our people. So when we get into this then, when I communicate with a client, especially now, when it was just me, I would call people all the time. I would shoot people text messages ad hoc while I'm working on their stuff. I'm now removed, thank the Lord, from my bookkeeping processes, and I've got to have benchmarks. I've got to have KPIs. I've got to have are you doing the work? It's something completely different to do the books versus communicate with a client, and our bookkeepers have to communicate. So when we communicate, our process right now, I'm not sure if I love it or hate it yet, we'll see, is that we talk to clients twice a week about the stupid stuff. We go out of our way to make sure that we ask that question, and we automate it as much as we can. I've got a cute little blurb that we copy and paste that says, hey, I need you to go over here and answer these questions. And hey, I've got a checklist. Checklist says it's time for you to send me this one bank statement from that tiny bank that I want you to break up with, but you won't because whatever, so I need you to send that to me. Twice a week, we're just checking in. And what this does for us is, one, super easy to measure if my bookkeepers haven't talked to my clients this week. And two, it lets our clients know that we are actively working on their stuff. We are on their team. And I need them to know that we're on the team so that when something goes sideways, that we're there for them and we can help catch them up. I also need them to know that there's an expectation that they participate. I'm going out of my way to make this as easy as possible. I don't need everything every week. Some of our messages are like, yo, hope you're having a great day. Let me know if you need anything. We're good here. I love it, right? Clients want to feel like we're on the team. From there, just to throw in a little pizzazz into the mix, when we deliver financial statements to clients, it's pre-recorded video. We use Loom to record a video that's anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes long, going over their, not just their financial statements very quickly, but we also use a couple of their softwares to track KPIs, and show the client, hey, here's how you're doing on your KPIs. And I tell clients when we're onboarding them, you can watch that video at 2 in the morning, and it'll put you right back to sleep. That's what it's there for. No, it's not. It's there so that you can get the information you need without feeling like you have to commit to small talk with me for an hour, right? Because they're busy. Some of them hate that nonsense. What they really want is for us to do a great job. They want to be in great hands. So that's what we do. We do pre-recorded video. We're doing this super fancy thing right now where we're doing slide decks inside of Canva. It's a hoot. It's fantastic. Whatever you can do to automate that step so that you're not recording 80 videos in a course of 4 days, do it, right? Like, automate this process as much as you can. But we do this to help clients feel like we're in the loop. It's my face, my voice, explaining their numbers. We always invite them to a live call, always, always, every month. If you're doing quarterly clients right now, bless your heart. Talk to your clients, not just quarterly. They want to hear from you, and start charging them for monthly also. Break up with the quarterly clients. And then nothing really builds relationships like the spontaneous text and the phone call. If you've got people that aren't connecting with you, if you put them through this, 1, 2, and 3, you put them through, hey, I am updating you all the time with the stuff that I need. I know that this isn't your biggest priority, but like it's been 6 weeks. Could you maybe give me 5 minutes? And you're sending them videos on the status and the update. That takes you minimum time. And you're inviting them to live calls, and they're still not getting to you. The expectation here is that you actually call them. We got to actually connect with the client and say, hey, buddy, what's going on? How can I help you? Am I overwhelming you right now with what's happening? The answer is probably yes. Probably. I've had clients tell me, Ben, I feel like every time you email me, you're mad at me. Ben, every time you email me, it's a paragraph of an email, and it stresses me out. That's the second client I ever had. They're like, Ben, you're asking too many questions. And I feel like I have to carve out a whole afternoon to answer them, and I really don't want to do that. You're stressing me out. My therapist knows about it. I really wish, ask me how I know on this. I really wish I was kidding, right? We're all going to mess this up. We got to begin to level these up as we go, little bitty bits and pieces at a time. However, this is the communication piece. This is where we get tactical. This is exactly what we need to be doing. I would strongly encourage you to have some sort of communication piece that looks not exactly like this. This is a lot. I am a lot. My processes match my personality. But use something. Once again, apps don't solve problems. If you would like an app to help you solve this problem, right now I am in love with Keeper. They're a sponsor. Like, this talk is technically sponsored by them. I'm not up here to sell them. If I owned stock in Keeper, I would tell you I want to. I love Keeper. It's super cool. It looks exactly like this. We use ClickUp as a workflow software. Our clients are involved in it. So I can, in the course of 10 seconds, copy a blurb out of Keeper that says, hey, I've got questions for you, send it to the client, and then when the client clicks through, they can see everything going on in their books. They can see, hey, you had a deposit. I've got an Ask My Accountant right now. It's for $65,000. What in God's name is this? Because you have not sent me a single piece of paper, and I have no idea what's going on, right? Or, hey, you went somewhere and spent some money. I know for a fact this is probably Home Depot or something like that. What house is this for? Help me, please. And the client can come in and answer. They can come say, hey, here's the property that we're working on for this house. And that's it. They click on a link. They fill the thing out. It's gangbusters. Keeper does way more than just this. This is my favorite part. All day, right? They do QC and it's fantastic or whatever. But making the communication piece easier is what it's all about. Because we don't have bookkeeping problems. And you won't have bookkeeping problems. You've got incredible resources in the course, in the program, to solve any and every accounting, tax, QuickBooks issue under the sun, right? The issue that you're going to run into over and over again is the fact that clients aren't giving you things. We would like you to be smarter about how you ask for them. If it's easy for the client and how you're asking for it, the language you're using, when you're asking for it, you're in touch with their life, they'll give it to you. And if they don't, there's probably a very good reason about that because you've got a very strong, strong relationship. Once again, Ben Robinson stealing my talking point about relational capital. This is what it's all about. If they love you, they'll let you know. And if they did love you and now they're not letting you know, they probably don't love you anymore and you should really call them. This is what we like to do. So once again, I'm going to have plenty of time for Q&A to just like shoot the ball with anybody about anything. Be my pleasure. When we're talking about getting everything from a client every time, there are levels to this and you got to grow it incrementally as you go. But you have to be real first and foremost. You got to understand your why and your purpose, making sure that you own as much of that process as you can, and then be having nothing but gratitude and grace for your clients if they're not giving it to you because they're having a bad month or a bad year. But you can't be lazy about this. We have to consistently talk to our clients, and it has to be effective. And when we're talking to our clients, we got to be as smart and as stupid as possible so that when they decide to engage, when they've got the bandwidth officially, once you connect with them and you're like, cool, we're going to build momentum again, that is the easiest thing in the world for you to get caught up. Because that is the scary part, right? clients don't talk to you for 6 months. You know that they're behind on the bank statements. They have thousands of transactions. They're not going to remember. It's going to take you forever to ask them the question. It's going to be more time. It's terrible. Whatever we can do to simplify this, there's no perfect solution. When my peers in the room heard that I was giving this talk, they laughed at me. They said, "Ben, we all know that you don't get everything every time. Who are you to do this talk?" And this is the answer, is that you're not going to get it every time. You're not. But you can make it as easy and silky smooth as possible so that when people get behind, when life happens, that you can show up as their advisor, as their collaborator, as their partner in crime, as their best friend who likes too much information, and just absolutely crush it for them. Or you can just ignore them, right? Like, who am I to tell you how to live your business? You can just do whatever you want, cash checks, run away, never talk to them ever again, get sued, go on the run, change your name, dye your hair, and that's the end, right? Like, you're the boss, you can do whatever you want. In no way, shape, or form do I think that my system is the best. I do, but I don't say that out loud. You can do whatever you want. My genuine hope is that there's one piece of what we have talked about just now that you can take into your business and help you level up. That's it. That's all I have for you. We've got 10 minutes for Q&A. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben. That's wicked smart, man. Wicked smart to get people from Boston. Hey, are we okay on time, Deanna? Are we okay? Okay, let's take a couple questions here. Again, the microphones are at either side. Do we have any virtual questions that have come in yet? Because we want to make sure that we're getting those addressed as well. But hell, Ben Day, right? Give it up for him again, right?